God is so good. Praise his holy name. Wonderful. Please have a seat. Turn to your neighbor and tell them God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? How many of you are ready for change? It's amazing, you know, we are in a process of ever changing, ever improving, ever moving on, ever moving forwards from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from faith to faith, from life to life. Those are the four areas that the Bible says we will never remain still on. And I'm so glad that my Heavenly Father loves me too much to leave me the way I am. Praise God. Can you imagine? I wrote this today as I was studying out. And this is like my second only thing that I got from God this morning, because I got the thread of what he was saying. And it's this. I just imagined to myself, just think to yourself for a second, that if this following prayer was the only prayer you ever prayed, where would you end up? And it goes like this: Father, help me and show me how to be a better person. Isn't that great? Imagine if that was all you ever said to God every day. You just wake up in the morning. Father, thank you for your love. I praise you for your goodness. Help me to be a better person. Show me how to be a better person. And then all you did that day as you were going about your business was just keep your ears open, keep your heart open to what God wanted to say to you in terms of making you a better person. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Ibby would be saying, Lord, help me sing in the right key. Sorry, I promised I would leave her alone, and it's the truth from Israel. She's bought the book Total Forgiveness by R.T. Kendall, so it will be well with her. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 8. I want you to see this in action. This is how the Lord Jesus did it in his life and ministry on earth with those that were around him. John chapter 8, and we'll look at the 31st verse, John 8:31. Do you like my tie, by the way? I've had it years, you know. It's by a Nigerian designer. Did you know that? A guy called Segun Adelaja. Look at that. Isn't that so cool? Dude's got style. He had a shop down in central London. I don't know if it's still there, if he just went all online. But isn't it beautiful? Kind of sets me at like spring. I'm trying to push spring through. Anyone else feel like that? Spring is wanting to spring, but it just needs that little intercessory push. Like Arsenal Thursday night, when they thought it was all over. Ozil had his back to the goal, and in comes Maitland-Niles, bang, with a header, and suddenly we're through. Hallelujah. Any Man U fans in the house, I recommend the book Total Forgiveness by R.T. Kendall. Praise the living God. But I want you to see this process in the life and in the ministry of Jesus. Verse 31, it says, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him. Now, imagine that this room is full of people who listened to the Messiah preaching this message, right? And there were some that believed in him, and there were some that didn't believe in him, right? Let's say, for the purposes of illustration, that the thing was split down the middle, right? Believers were on that side of the crowd. Oh, I should swap this. Be kind to Ibby Day. Okay, let me swap it over. Believers were on this side of the crowd, and then the unbelievers were on this side of the crowd, right? Look at what Jesus did. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him. So you see, the audience was double, but the people who believed in him, let's say for the sake of illustration, was only half. So he's automatically separated out those who are believing from those who are unbelieving. And he said this, to those who were believing in. If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. Next verse. And you will know the truth, and the truth that you know and do, because we know what Jesus said in Matthew, he who hears my words and does them can be compared to a wise man. You see, loads of people heard what he was saying, but only some did them. So there's a process of separation. There's a process of segregation. There's a process of refinement that the Lord Jesus is bringing his people through. And he says this, he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth that you know and do will make you free. Do you see that? So there's a process, because there was a series of people who didn't believe in what he was saying at all. Out of the ones who were saying, do you see how he's like sieving? I don't know if you've ever seen that process of when they're recycling concrete or whatever. They will have these big concrete boulders that go through this machine, and it's a crushing machine. And then it goes through one level of filtration to take out the big pieces. And then it go another filtration to take out the smaller bits until you're left with the finest bits possible. And this is what Jesus is doing with his word in that system. The point I'm making is, he loves us too much to leave us the way we are, but that's not just a one-off process. He is taking us from one level of glory to the next, from one level of refinement to the next. He's taking us on that journey where we become better people. So imagine if all you pray every day is, Lord, make me a better person. Show me, help me to become a better person. Show me how to become more like you every day. Imagine where you'd end up. Hallelujah to Jesus. May you engage in that refinement process in Jesus' mighty name. Turn to your neighbor and tell him he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Hallelujah. It's amazing how God does this kind of stuff. And you know, you look at the great, what was his name? The Statue of David guy, Michelangelo. You remember him, the Statue of David. They say it's one of the most beautiful statues that was ever created. And you can go to Rome, and I think they've only got a copy on display now because the original was deteriorating too much. And where is it? Florence, is it? Florence. And so you can look at this statue. And Michelangelo said that these were his words when they were asking him about how could you create such a beautiful thing. He said, the statue was already there. All I had to do was take away the bits. Hallelujah to Jesus. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, allow the Lord to take away the bits. Yeah, you know all those bits, those edges you have, and God wants that process of refinement in us so that he can use us. I love what scripture says concerning, you know, you can draw 1,000 different conclusions from this, but these are mine from what happened in the life and ministry of David, that great warrior king, when he's going to face the lords of the Philistines. And he dips his hand in the brook, the Bible says, and he pulled out 5 smooth stones. And that word there is deliberate. It's 5 smooth stones, not 5 edgy stones. If I was going to throw a rock at someone to kill him, I would make sure it's the wickedest looking rock going. Do you know what I mean? Like granite kind of flint type thing. It would strike you on your head and bust your skull in two. But, you know, he said, sorry, is that a bit too, okay, sorry, it's my imagination, you know. But he dips his hand in the brook, and the Bible says he pulled out 5 smooth stones. And that means that these stones had been through a process. years and decades and centuries and millennia of water will have passed over those stones and take off the edges, taken off all the bits that weren't going to, like, I don't know, why would you choose smooth stones? I don't know, maybe like from his pot, he didn't want to hurt himself in his pocket or something. I really haven't got a clue, but the Bible says that that's what he was doing. You know, and people say, oh yeah, it was the fivefold ministry and blah, 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 you know, any giant will come down, etc., etc. But it's like, to me, that the mystery is in the smoothness of the stone. There's something about these stones had been through a process, and therefore they were fit for David's use. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, become fit for the master's use. You know, you think about the kind of character that God wants from us in his word. We read about things like be kind to one another, forgiving. Forgiving if anyone has anything against you. Do you know what I mean? There's things that can happen. People can get hurt. But it's how we respond to those things. It's how much we let that refining process of the Lord over us that determines how fit we are for the master's use. There's a certain type of character that God loves to use, that he, in this generation, you know, he needs to use. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, allow the word of God to take the edges away. Hallelujah. There's a process that we go through. You know, one of the things that really, just looking back on my life, just astounds me is the process that God took me through in the early years of my Christianity and the way that he continued through. I heard it described like this as a great teacher of the word by the name of Tunde Bakary. And he said it like this once, that he was building a swimming pool at the back of his house and the contractor got the whole thing messed up. And it was like really, you know, it was just wrong. It just didn't look right. It didn't feel right. And he thought to himself, you know what, shall I just get some landfill and just fill the thing in and just forget that I ever wanted this project and just put some lawn over the top? And he said to himself, no. He said, I'd invested too much already in the project, and so I didn't want to lose that investment. So whatever it took, I was going to put the thing right. And I was thinking about that in relation to humanity. You think what God has invested in us, the blood, the body, the suffering, the bleeding, the dying of his own son invested in us. So, you know, he's not going to be the one who bails out of this project. He's going to continue on this project. You know, we'll get things wrong. We'll mess up. We'll make mistakes. We'll do all sorts of silly things. But God loves us too much to abandon the project and just fill us in. And do you see what I'm saying? I thought, wow, you know, that just rings so true. In my life, and looking at the early days of my life, for those of you who don't know, I was born into a very interesting family. My father was Irish, and he was a proper Irish nationalist, like proper. Like, he was a member of the official IRA. He was part of a group called Clan na Gael, which promoted the Irish culture, Irish identity in London. Everything was Irish this, Irish that. And then, like, I was a Catholic on top, so kind of like Ash Wednesday and St. Patrick's Day were kind of embarrassing because I'd have this big fag ash on my head and I'd have this like shamrock coming out, and people would say, Paul, what's wrong with you, man? What's that grass growing out of your pocket for? And it was like, I was just like, you know, it was one of those things. Anyone ever grown up in a family that was just odd like that? I mean, I was in an odd family, just odd. We were poor, and like poor with at least three exclamation marks afterwards, right? And it was just, you know, horrible. Growing up in London, I'd suffered a lot of rejection. You know, the Bible talks about root of rejection growing up, and I carried that thing, and like, so that affected my attitude. You know, I wanted to be a criminal. I wanted to rob banks. That was my life's desire, was to become an armed robber. Can you imagine? Pastor P, meek and mild, you know, And, you know, because all my friends were like, you know, killers, armed robbers, pimps, drug dealers. I don't mean like slinging rocks. I mean suitcases full. Literally, a friend of mine got caught with a suitcase full of cocaine. Like, what? And yet God, you know that scripture in Ephesians 2 where it says that we were children of wrath, even as the rest. And then it says, but God, I'm so glad those two words are in that Bible. I see myself in that scripture. But God, who is rich in mercy and the great love with which he loved us, sent Christ to pay a price for us. Ah, somehow in my heart, redemption's story was born and God got to work on me. And he hasn't stopped yet. Praise Jesus forever. I mean, if you're a woman and you have a handbag in this place, you should even just thank God that I'm saved just for that very reason. Your handbag would be missing in action. Your hands will be lifted to God and I'll be going, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Oh, my goodness. Lord Jesus, you are good. You are so good. My God is so good. And, you know, when I got saved, this was the thing. I didn't know, right? And I really want to encourage you to allow God to do this in your life. I didn't know that my physical life should be dictated by the Word of God. I didn't know that how I think should be dictated by the Word of God. I didn't know that how I behave towards others should be dictated by the Word of God. I didn't know that my politics should be dictated by the Word of God. I mean, I was on a journey through this thing called the born again experience, and I was saying, wow, you know, heaven is my home. We had a strange kind of conversion. It wasn't like, you know, the kind of church I was brought up in, like, just forget it in terms of any kind of real experience of God. It was only an encounter of God that took hold of me that would have even got me saved. I would never have listened to anyone. Christians, ha, forget it. Tambourine banging weirdos. That was my, and now look at me in the front row, Jesus, banging my tambourine like crazy, you know. And that was my whole outlook towards people of any kind of faith. It was like from one level of weirdo to the next. That was it. They were all weird. Isn't that strange? And yet God, who is rich in mercy, changed me. I'll never forget that because, like, you know, when you're living this experience yourself, it's difficult to see from the outside looking in what people are seeing. Do you get what I'm saying? Because you're living it, they're seeing it, so it's very difficult for you to see it from the outside. But a few years ago, there was a guy, we were working up in a drug and alcohol rehab center in Luton, and there was a guy there called Andy, real, like, hardened football hooligan. I mean hardened. He was a Plymouth Argyle fan. You know Plymouth Argyle? Some tiny little team, and they had thugs. I mean, they were known for their football violence, and he was right in the midst of the thing, one of the ringleaders. So he had one of these acid house hats from, you know, that Liverpool used to wear in the 80s and 90s, and he's sitting there, and he's got tattoos on his fingers. I think both of them, you know, usually one hand says love, and then the other hand says hate. I think, from memory, I think both of them said hate. I think. I mean, it was double portion, you know, that this guy was carrying, you know. And I went up there because we used to minister to the people coming out of drugs on the 12-step program and telling them about the, step three, I think it is called my walk with God. It's make a conscious effort to contact this higher power that you're going to call God. So I would go in there and I would teach the people, you know, like share about my own life and testimony and everything like that. And this guy, Andy, he's sitting at the back, you know, it's like, you know, and I can't even say what he said from the pulpit about what he said about Christianity. But I'm thinking, right, here's my thinking. I'm thinking, wow, you know what, 20 odd years ago, that was me sitting right there. And if God can do it for me, oh, Jesus, he can do it for that dude over there. So I kept on sharing my testimony and just ministering. And I said at the end, I said, you know, if there's anyone who wants to know more, or if God has touched you, or if you just want me to pray for you or anything like that. And I said, you know, sir, I'd love to pray for you. Whether you think I'm crazy or not, I just see something that God wants to do in your life. Anyway, they came into the little side room afterwards. And he was one of the guys I prayed for, right? And I just left it. I know enough to upwardly delegate to the Holy Spirit. Do you know what I'm saying by that? You know, it's like, Lord, this thing is bigger than me. The Bible says that those who believe in my name, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So my portion is the laying hands. His portion is the healing. I couldn't heal a fly with a headache. Well, I could give him the ultimate healing, but that's not the solution, if you see what I mean. And so... So I prayed for the guy. I said, Lord, Father, the same kind of stuff you've done in my life, Lord God, do it in this guy's life. Touch his life, Heavenly Father, in an undeniable way, in Jesus' name. And I left it there. I didn't know, you know, anything for the next couple of weeks. Anyway, you remember Dave and Alicia? Some of you remember Dave and Alicia, our worship team. They worked in the rehab center. That's how we got in there. Dave was a worker in there, and they used to do Sunday night services. And lo and behold, who shows up to one of their services that night? This guy, Andy. And his hands are lifted to heaven. He's got tears and he's like, oh, I love you, Jesus. Blah, blah, blah. I'm thinking, ha, skank. Do you know what I mean? Because I knew that the greater one in me was going to reach out and touch him and infect him with the same infection that infected and changed my life. Hallelujah to Jesus forever. Is there anything too hard for my God? Is there anyone too hard to reach? Hallelujah to Jesus. And one of the things we have to do, you know, is just literally, we just upwardly delegate to God. We give it to God and we leave it there. Leave God, stick it to the Lord and just leave it there with the Lord. And he can do the impossible. Simone, you think of the people who have got saved out of your ministry. Some of the craziest people that you'd ever imagine believe in all sorts of things. I mean, I can't tell you what I believed before I got saved. Some of you would have just laughed me out of the building. It was nuts. It was crazy. But how many crazy people have now become crazymatics? Glory to Jesus forever. Or you're like, oh no, I thought straight all my life. Yes. Yeah, right. You see, we're on that journey. We're on that journey, that process of refinement. The Bible says, allow the word of God to dwell in you richly. Richly. Listen to that word. Allow the word of God to dwell in you richly. He doesn't just want a dwelling place. He wants to dwell there richly. Hallelujah to Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, God loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Oh, wonderful. What can I render unto Jehovah? I feel like celebrating God, for he has done so very much for me. Imagine the people that you would find unreachable, untouchable, and then the next thing you see them in church. The next thing you actually see them and you think, I used to go to school with that dude. Like, you know, he was worse than I was. Anyone been there before? I mean, it's shocking. I had that experience a couple of years back with my friend Martin Berry. I mean, the last time I heard the dude's name, it was because he was hanging upside down off a tree because he jumped off a block of flats high on glue. And the next thing, he's on Mark Van Gundy's Bible school thing. That's, I mean, you know, fast forward 20-odd years and a whole heap of Holy Ghost work in his life. And the next thing, he's on Mark Van Gundy's Bible study, KSM, Kingdom School of Ministry. And he puts out on Facebook, you know, next week, oh, I've got a good friend, Martin Berry. So I texted Mark Van Gundy. I said, Mark, is that Martin Berry, the hood rat from Tottenham? That's what I said. He says, I don't know, I'll get back to you. So he texts Marty, he said, do you know a guy, Paul Norton? Paul, yeah. He's got a church in Wembley. No, you're kidding. It's like, wow, now there's two of us. Hallelujah. Yeah. And his story is amazing. In fact, he ministered last year to the men, didn't he? We did a men's breakfast and he was ministering there. It was a very, very powerful time. God's using him prophetically. He's using him apostolically in church planting. And I'm just thinking, wow. Wow. You know that scripture says, I would have despaired unless I had seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And you know what? I really believe with all my heart there's more to come, you know. There's more skanks, there's more hood rats, there's more criminals, there's more, I mean, you name it, the worst hooker in New Testament history. Mary Magdalene ends up being the first person that the resurrected Christ appears to. Technically, you could say that she was the first ever born-again person in history. Was a hooker. Hallelujah to Jesus. Because the Bible says, you see, to be saved under New Testament salvation, you've got to confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. So she was the first person to see him raised from the dead. Amazing. Wow. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, if God can do it for a hooker, he can do it for you. Hallelujah to Jesus. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? You see, he loves us too much to leave us the way we are. I mean, we can come in with all sorts of craziness in life, but God takes us as we are. There's no precondition at all. He'll take us exactly where we are, but then he'll take us on that process, that journey. A lot of people, this is the difference between religion and relationship with God. A lot of, like, people who are religious, they have this outlook. I must do because I want to be. Faith in God says, I have become, therefore I will do. And it's a lot like riding a bike. I don't know if you noticed that, you know. I mean, how long did it take you after you got saved? How long did it take you to sin after you got saved? Didn't take me long. Thought of someone I wanted to kill, like, you know, at least strangle them and see if they lived or whatever. You know, how long? You guys are looking at me so holy as to say, Pastor P, you're a rank sinner from hell. My gosh. But think about it. How long did it take you until you said, and what was that? It's like learning to ride a bike. You know, kids who ride bikes and, you know, they take the first couple of pedals, they fall off, they scratch their knee, they cry, they go run into their mom or dad and, you know, give them a hug. And then what happens is they get back on the bike and they cycle that little bit more. And then they fall off again or they do something wrong and it goes all wobbly and horrible and they get up and, you know, and salvation, isn't it just like that? Yeah, nudge your neighbor and tell him he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Yeah, so that process, and I've seen, you know, there's all sorts of stuff we have to go through. But you see, what is happening, and this is why I love looking back sometimes over what the Lord has done. Because what is happening is like layer after layer. We go to God, we mess up, we say, Father, oh Lord, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have insulted that particular person, Lord. I bless them in Jesus' mighty name. And what is happening in your heart is that God is changing you through that repentance and that process of getting it wrong and then putting it right again. So you take, I don't know, for me in the early days of my salvation, it was like get 2 steps forward and 1 step back. Then another like 3 forward and maybe 2 steps back. But I kept going. Why? Because I knew that at the end of this thing, there is a God who loves me too much to leave me the way I am. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah. Is there anything God can't do? Is there anything in your life that he can't change? There were certain attributes. You know, I used to be so frustrated as a child. I don't know if you've experienced frustration to the point that it causes sickness on the inside of your stomach. But that was the kind of thing that I suffered as a kid, just frustration and hurt. And like, why is life like this? Why is it so horrible being alive? And it's like, all that kind of stuff was still in me. Have anyone ever encountered that? You get older and you realize, wow, the stuff that I thought is like, gosh, you know, what is this? It's God bringing it up to the surface. You know, the Bible says that God refines us as gold is refined. And the process of refinement of gold is very interesting, because what they do is they will heat it up to the point that all the impurities rise to the top. And then they will skim the impurities off. He says, the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold. So there's a process of heating that thing, heating it, bringing it to the surface, to the point where we say, oh, Lord, get that out of my life, Lord God. I want to reflect the true nature of Christ. I want to be Christ-like. Hallelujah to Jesus. How many of you know you got further to go? But how many of you know he loves you too much to leave you the way you are? Isn't that great news? I want to just stop there, because I want that to soak on you today, because God is doing something. There's a, I can feel it in the atmosphere, like a yes, Lord kind of thing. So can we stand to our feet right now? Thank you, Lord. And just in response to this word, if you just want to respond in your heart, in whatever way, just we'll get a keyboarder, Aaron, thank you. And just, I don't know, there'll be a song, Aaron. You know how to pick these things in the Spirit. Isn't he a wonderful psalmist? Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just close your eyes right now. Father, I thank you so much for what you're doing in us, so that you can display your goodness through us. Lord, whatever you want to do in the hearts of those people that you have touched today, through the ministry of your word, Heavenly Father. Lord God, I pray that you start that process right now. That yes, Lord, process. That here I am process. I want your goodness, Lord God, to be displayed in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever yes, Lords are in your heart right now, just articulate them to the Lord. Yes, Lord, I want to be a better person. I want to have a more loving heart. I want to be more compassionate. I want to be more kind. I want to be more forgiving. I want to be more whole, Lord God, so that I can bring that wholeness to the world. I want to be more comforting so that I can bring that comfort to those who have suffered. I want to be more like Jesus so that I can be Jesus to my generation. Thank you, wonderful Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The cry of our heart is yes, Lord. Yes, 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 Father. Thank you that you love us too much to leave us the way we are. Thank you, wonderful Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing. Those things, Lord God, that you bring out to the surface and take away. Make us those better people that you desire for this world, Father. Thank you that you can cause us to be the answer. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. And all God's people say, amen and amen.